declare the meeting.
Yeah, all that.
Bring the meeting to order?
Right, right. This is all.
Can we have a roll call, Kelly?
Mike Lynch.
Here.
Jim DeMartini.
Here.
Donna Riley.
Here.
Sam Sharp.
Here.
Darren Garrett.
Present.
Jeff Grover.
Here.
Michael O'Neill.
Here.
Lauren Klein.
Here.
Mandeep Dillon.
Here.
Rhonda Biesmeyer.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Are there any announcements, Rick?
I have none.
Any members' announcements? Seeing none, public comment. Is any public comment expected today? We'll waive the reading of that. Consent calendar. Is there a motion?
Michael, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a second? It's moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar.
Before we vote on it, I would just like to send my condolences to the families of the three county employees that passed away that are on the consent agenda. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We'll incorporate that in the motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar with the addition of a statement of condolences from this board to the families of the members who have passed on. Are all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item is investment. We don't have a report. And where's Ferris?
Ferris is going to get him on the phone.
Okay. You're going to keep me permanent, Chairman.
Chairman for life.
Ed? Hi, I'll put you on speaker and you'll be on with the full board. Can you hear us, Ed?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Oh, so we're already up to item 7?
We are.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought it was at the beginning of the meeting. Sorry. Great. Good afternoon, everyone. A couple just quick updates. The 12-month work plan is included in the materials. This month is obviously very short. Next month, we have quite a bit going on. So we have the standard quarterly performance report, as well as the annual review of our asset allocation. So we just got some updated cash flow numbers from Rick and company, and so we're incorporating those into our 2018 capital market assumptions, and we expect to have that presentation for you next month. And then we are also looking to review our annual review of the investment program governance documents, and I think you're taking a big step towards that later in today's agenda with a review of the bylaws. Next month we'll be taking a closer look at the investment policy statement and accompanying documents and coordinating all of that. And then the rest of the months are outlined from there, all subject to change, of course, but trying to keep our agendas reasonable and focused. If there are no questions on that, I'll just quickly touch on the flash report.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. So for the month, outperforming the policy index, but as you might expect, the month of March was volatile, another volatile month with a general pullback in the equity markets both here and abroad. And so we see that in our total results down 0.5% and year-to-date down 0.6%. And fiscal year-to-date, 6.6%. So that's, in my mind, great news that we're seeing the volatility and for the fiscal year still on track against our actuarial assumed rate. The individual managers, nothing particularly noteworthy in terms of any personnel changes or any issues, modest outperformance and underperformance that we're seeing, basically due to their typical styles of how they manage money, and most of the results are still pretty strong on a year-to-date basis as well. So the only other point I'd make note is with regard to the chart on the right-hand side, we're now seeing the current come much more in line with policy as a result of the rebalancing that happened in March that really added to the AQR position, which you see on page 2. AQR Global Risk Premium Strategy is now 6.7% of plan assets. And so with that allocation, the allocation overall for the total plan out. So we would expect to maintain an overweight there until that happens. Everything else, I think, makes sense, and happy to answer any questions you might have.
Members, anybody? Go on, Ed. You got more?
That's all I have, sir. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day, everyone.
You too.
Thank you, Ed.
Take care.
Rick?
Yep. Item 8A, this is the SACRS 2018 Spring Business Meeting. This is a discussion and action item, and Kelly Gomes will be presenting this item to you.
Okay, so the item that was before you in your packet changed today. As we received it late from SACRS, they realized that they had made a mistake and did not include that you would also need to be voting for the legislative part. So I handed out two pieces of SACRS for you. So the two updates are Larry Walker has withdrawn because he retired, so he's no longer eligible to serve on the board. So we'll be asking you today to direct your proxy to be able to vote on the SACRS nominating committee recommended ballot. They did ask that we vote this year as a whole and then also be able to have the proxies vote as an individual. That was on the original plan, and I believe that was because they had Larry Walker in there. I don't think that that still applies, but we can still be prepared to vote yes or no on each individual one after we vote for the ballot or not. The second one is for the legislative. It is for the Tulare piece. It has come to you before, and I just wanted to update you on that. So back October 24th, it was brought to you for the November fall business meeting, and this board did vote to not to approve the SACRS committee recommendation to not sponsor the legislative as outlined in the business packet. At that meeting, it appears that they went ahead and pulled that item, and it was not voted on. The writer pulled it, so it looks like he went back and took another attempt at it, and now SACRS is asking that we accept their recommendation to co-sponsor it. Do you guys have any questions I can answer?
They're asking them to approve.
Yes. Do you want me to give you a little synopsis of what they're asking you to approve? Would that be helpful? Okay. So basically, they're asking the way the law is written is that retirement systems have the authority to exclude the assistant administrator and a CIO position from the civil service. So much like the position that you guys govern for Rick at this board, they're asking for the permission to be able to do that for those positions. We don't have those positions here in this county. We don't have an assistant or a direct CIO. So it wouldn't directly affect us right now, but maybe in the future if we did. So basically what they're asking is, the way it's set up now is that if they come to an agreement and their board of supervisor approves it, they have to go out and seek single legislation representation to get it approved. This bill is saying that once this is passed, any system that wants those two positions governed by just the board, that they won't have to go seek separate legislation. They will just have to go to their board of supervisors and get it approved.
Why are they asking for these two positions to be governed just by the board? As the assistant?
They're saying that for streamlining and keeping things separate from and being able to execute their fiduciary responsibilities, much like how you have Rick's position separate. So they're calling the same lines as why you do this position.
And they would also serve at the pleasure of the board. So
right.
If we wanted to.
These systems have evolved over the years, mm-hmm. And when they first got started, they were very small systems, and they were essentially run solely by the counties, because the county was really the only plan sponsor that was getting retirement benefits administered to them. now as the systems have grown and there's other plan sponsors in this, this is my take on it, by the way, as the systems have grown and there's other plan sponsors, there sometimes is this tension that exists between the retirement systems and the counties regarding certain positions and how to manage those positions. So I think this is an evolutionary step in this, in the way that these systems are evolving and getting bigger and wanting to have more control over certain positions in the organization. It's already happened for CIOs and CEOs, but I think they're wanting to push it down another notch.
Does the county have a position on this? Stanislaus County, do they have a position on us making these?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. I don't even think they're aware of it.
Yeah. They wouldn't become aware of it until this board implemented that, and they would have to write up an agenda item and take it to them and present it.
But they still reserve the right to say yes or no.
Yes, absolutely.
Under this bill, they still have that authority.
Yes.
Yeah, this bill, I think, directs them to work with. Yeah,
CERL has written that the systems would still have to take it to their Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors would have to say yes if those positions can be governed separately. The page that I handed out to you, the second to the last page, they give a little background about what I had alluded to about the fiduciary responsibility. Just gives you a little breakdown of how they feel.
And Kelly, back up to the first part, are these six people running for six spots?
Yes.
And there's no other candidates?
No, because that other candidate there did drop
off. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like running in the Soviet Union.
I vote for the Moscow ticket. I'm sorry.
And on the very last page, Lauren, it does speak to their argument and support. It was their the author's office saying rather than requiring every county to run separate legislation, the bill would give the county retirement boards.
Yeah, and that's fine. I was just thinking, why would you put the two positions under the director? I wasn't even thinking about the county. I was thinking, why would they have to report directly to the board rather than to the director? So that's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, it creates more independence. It's a stronger relationship if they do report directly to the board. I was just curious.
Right. And then the board probably still does have the director, oversee the assistant and the CIO on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But the board is in charge of how it gets hired, what salaries are set, when they're when they're let go, those type of things.
And what you don't see here is that these positions actually become at will. Like Chris's position and my position are at-will positions. This kind of puts them in the at-will category, too. So they wouldn't go through the normal county processes if somebody wants to terminate these folks.
Yeah, you just don't have union representation, but even at-wills have to go through.
Yeah, but they're a little more tenuous, I think, at this level. let Chris show you an article we just saw in the Institutional Investor.
Michael, you're our perennial representative here in Sacramento. What are we going to do here?
I think Darren is.
I am.
Mike's not second.
Darren's not perennial, though. He's just.
But the point is, we need a motion.
So yes.
We need a motion to do two things. One is to approve the slate, if we want to approve the slate, and the other is to endorse this bill, correct?
To allow Sacramento to co-sponsor the bill.
Okay,
so I have one question before we endorse it. What happens if the county does not approve it, if it gets there?
It would be up to each individual county to not approve it, and then that would be, for lack of better words, a fight between that retirement board and that county, and they would have to work it out themselves. Try to come to some agreement.
You guys want to divide the motion or make it all together?
I think you should divide them.
Let's divide it. First, on the SACRS nominating slate.
I'll move to support the SACRS slate of candidates.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
And the motion is you're directing your voting proxy to vote.
For these six people?
Yes.
To accept.
Yeah.
Collectively and individually.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Since it's unanimous, you don't have to put
now we need a motion on the SACRS, endorsing the SACRS position on that bill. And this is the Valadao bill, right?
I'll make the motion that we endorse the SACRS bill and have our representative vote in the affirmative to support the bill.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Is that any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Next item is...
This, you want me to take it?
Yeah.
8B, this is the Information Technology Project Update, and I'll turn this over to Dawn Lee.
I'm very happy to report that our project is going very well. We are still on time and on budget, so that's really exciting for us to be able to say that this far into the project. Things are going great. We have one business analyst from Tegret that is programming and working on the interface with the employers to be able to import the contributions, wages, hours, work, that kind of thing. We're going to be gathering a lot of information from them, hopefully more than we've been able to in the past. So we've started having conversations with the employers, letting them know what kind of data we're going to need. So we're working together with them to make that happen. We have another analyst also that is working on the calculators. And this is a really, really, really complex part of our process because we have so many different kinds of benefits and so many tiers and everything that we have in our plan. So we are working very hard on making sure that we get examples of every type of thing that we can think of that could possibly happen, so that we can make sure we get everything in there that we need. We want this to be a very automated process so that we can get all the calculations. We do have some calculations that we're not able to do in our system right now, and some we do on our own, and some we have to actually be sent out to the actuary. So this is another one of those really great things where we're going to be able to now incorporate all of that into the new system. So we're working hard to put that together. And then our staff is really busy working on our utilization testing. So as they get each module done or a part of a module, they send it out to us, and that's what we're using these computers back here for. We go in there and they give us test scripts. We go in and we run them through to make sure that the system is running as it should be. And that's when we find little bugs, like somebody put in 18 as the date and it came up as 1918, and it should never allow that. So, you know, that's what we're doing, all this testing to try to find those little bugs and things now. And so we have the current stuff that we're working on, and then all the bugs that we found from before, they're coming back through so that we can retest them to make sure that everything's fixed. So we have our staff just working away over there on top of getting everybody else retired this time of year. So everyone is doing a great job and keeping this project moving forward, and things are looking very, very promising.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
Any questions?
All right, item
C, the tenant improvement.
Yep, item 8C. Let me get my stuff here. This is a new boardroom tenant improvements. This is a discussion and action item, and Natalie Elliott is going to present this item for you.
Okay, back in June of 2015, the board requested staff to research what the cost would be to build out this vacant space behind this room into possibly a new boardroom for San Sarah. That was finally done. The general shoulder was done in October of 2016, and staff has contracted with an architect called Peter Inc. to come up with a design and architectural drawings for the proposed boardroom. Those drawings were handed out to you prior to the board meeting starting. The black and white drawing is the actual architectural draft to scale of what the boardroom could possibly be, so the layout of what the boardroom will be. And the color drawing is just simply a rendering to give you an idea of what it could look like. That is not to scale. It makes things look bigger. It makes it look like it's not going to fit in that room. But please keep in mind that that room, the adjacent room here where the boardroom is going to go, is 60% larger than this room. So there is plenty of room for a dais and chairs. So staff has brought these to you, and we have three recommendations. One is to approve the estimated costs, which are between $201,000 and $338,000. To authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into contracts to move forward with this project, and appoint one or two trustees to be on committee to confer with staff through the completion of the new boardroom tenant improvements. I think it's important that the board be involved in the decision making on what goes into their boardroom, because it is their boardroom, not for the staff. The estimates that are provided to you on at the end of the agenda, these estimates were provided by the architect. They're not guesstimates from staff. It's a huge range, and that range depends on site access, which contractors are hired, which contractors will take the project, because it is a small project, and what supplies we used for the construction of the boardroom furniture and the dais and everything like that. There are items on this estimate that possibly might not need to be done, such as the HVAC balancing. That may be something we won't do because there's a little more involved in that HVAC system than just the rebalancing. The electrical might not need to be touched, depending on if they need to go in there and get in there, then they might have to touch it. So the estimate is a range, and it's a huge range. So we're asking for approval for the estimate range and approval to move forward.
Will this allow us to live stream the meetings?
Yes.
So or do we plan to do that?
It will include all the audio and visual equipment needed to do that.
Okay. And is this circle thing a clock? Or is that like...
It's our logo.
A seal, the seal of the county? Or as Supervisor DeMartini suggested, a picture of somebody?
President
Trump, that would be a nice picture.
Okay. Actually, what we were thinking behind the dais would be a big flat screen TV, so the visitors or the attendees of the board meeting could see what was going on. There'd be two other TVs for the board members to be able to see. That's why we're asking for a committee, is to help make these decisions and put all these fine-tuned items in place.
Rick, what do you recommend?
Well, I had a little bit of sticker shock when I saw this earlier. I think we have to do something. I think it's inevitable that we're growing as a system here. And I can have even Kelly talk about the logistics, the issues that we face here. I think we have to do something. And, you know, we could probably keep it closer to the lower end. This was always kind of my thought that it was going to be around $200,000 anyway, but the lower end and the higher end also represents to some small degree the difference between the Ford Pinto and the Cadillac Escalade, I guess, if you would. So, I mean, there are ways that we can keep this cost down on the lower end, but I would not recommend no action at all. I think this is something that's inevitable. I mean, we could stall it for 4 or 5 years, I'm sure, but we are getting bigger. We're going to continue to get bigger. There seems to be a lack, in my opinion, there seems to be a lack of formality sometimes in our meetings, and I think it would help us to perch you folks up on a dais and create a little bit of formality. I don't like the fact that I can't see Donna Riley from this point of the room here that I have to look over. I like to address everybody when I talk, and I'm sure
to
that
hide.
You folks have the same issues. I would recommend going forward with this. I think it's very important, though, that you get two or three trustees to serve on a committee as we go forward in this project, just to keep tabs on what's going on. And also, I don't want to get into a situation where we get something out there, and because we're not going to please everybody, let's face it. And somebody's going to say, well, I don't like what you did here. So I'd like to get a couple of you with some skin in the game a little more, I guess, if you will.
I think that's a good idea. And I'm for this as long as we design it so that it is conducive to transparency and video, you know, video, making available through video all those meetings, all the meetings. Because I think retirement issues are going to become more heated over the next several years. And people, the public deserves to see what happens.
And then is there a plan for this room, or is there additional cost for this when we leave, or does it stay the same?
I'll let Natalie jump in if she wants, but as far as I know, this is going to now just become a regular conference room, a big conference room. It will serve us well. If we were to start construction on that, we'd have to move the entire IT staging area for the new project into here, because that's where all the testing is going on right now. So that would have to be moved in there. But there was actually some talk as to removing this wall and put a portable partition in here in case we needed it for extra room. So that's something that could come down the road if we need to. But for now, it would just be used as a conference room.
Is that possibility included in the high side? Or is it
putting this wall? I don't think so, no. Okay. Unless, Natalie, you know something.
I believe everything's included. The architect was very diligent about including every possible thing that we might need to do.
Including this thing here?
Yes.
Oh, I stand corrected.
Any board member comments or questions or suggestions for action?
Are there any board members who might volunteer to be on the committee?
I would. So
I could be on the
committee.
I'm retired and I know I have a bit more time than some of the other folks.
Yes, two out of three. Anyone else? Mr. Grover, you can be in the country?
I can't guarantee that.
Okay.
But Darren?
I could do it, I guess. I'm here every day.
All right.
Okay.
That'd be great.
So, is there a motion?
With that as potential, we wouldn't need a motion if you're not going to get any board members to serve on. I mean, we could move forward, but I think he's absolutely correct. We need board members on there just to...
Well, let's make that as part of the motion. Let's
okay.
move.
Yep.
Okay. What kind of action do you need? You need us to...
How about if I reread this?
We just okay. move the staff recommendation yeah. and include the fact that Michael O'Neill, Rhonda Biesmeyer, and Trustee Jim DeMartini have agreed to serve on the committee.
Okay. And what about Trustee Grover from time to time? You'd be willing to?
Sure.
Excellent.
He's our color guy. He'll pick out the palettes.
we are
I
not...
I know somebody that will.
Perfect.
Okay, so...
That would be my motion.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in... Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Passes unanimously. Internal Governance Committee.
Okay. This is item 9A1. This is a discussion and action item having to do with the biennial bylaw revision. And staff's recommendation today would be to approve the Internal Governance Committee's recommended bylaw revisions. So let me give you just some quick background, because this is kind of a big shift from what we've done in the past. About a year ago, I started just getting a feel for other systems, their bylaws and how they administer and what it is they do. And I was talking to a few of the CEOs, and nothing earth-shattering, but I did find out that most everybody's bylaws are a lot smaller than ours. Some systems have bylaws that are only 11 pages long, and so I started doing some research into why that is, because our bylaws were, I believe, 60-some pages. And what I found in the CERL, the County Employee Retirement Law, was that there's two sections in CERL. One section mandates that we put certain things in the bylaws, and their board administration procedure, how you folks are elected, how long your terms last, and then member documentation, what types of member documentation we need to be able to gather from our members and keep on hand. Other than that, everything else is may put in the bylaws. So I took a crack at this, and I removed everything from our bylaws other than those three things that the CERL required. But then as I was reading through the bylaws that I was taking out, I realized that there are several bylaws that carry a lot more legal weight and that they were done by attorneys. And there's a hierarchy in terms of what trumps something else in the CERL, in terms of law and stuff like federal law trumps state law trumps local law, and so forth. And bylaws actually trump internal policy, in other words, what we put together here internally. So we decided that we would leave all the legal stuff, in addition to the stuff that the CERL requires, we would leave all the legal stuff in there as well. The other reason is that every 2 years we were required to do this biennial bylaw revision. And what the process is that we go through this, we do these revisions, and there are internal policies currently housed in our bylaws. And so what we have to do is we have to make these changes. We have to take them to the Board of Retirement. The Board of Retirement approves them. Then they have to go to the Board of Supervisors. Anything in the bylaws has to go to the Board of Supervisors. So what we found us ourselves doing is creating this perverse, unproductive incentive when we wanted to change something in our internal policies that were housed in our bylaws. We'd say, let's just wait for the 2 years to come so we don't have to continue to take stuff to you, take stuff to the Internal Governance Committee, and then ultimately take it to the Board of Supervisors, which that process, trust me, takes 3 to 4 months before it's complete. So this also pulls those internal policies out of the bylaws and allows us to be a little more nimble and flexible in terms of administering our internal bylaws. So this is what was presented to the board or to the Internal Governance Committee yesterday. They had some changes. I'm going to turn it over in a second to Rhonda. Our Internal Governance Committee consists of Rhonda Biesmeyer. Donna Riley is a chair, and Sam Sharp sits on that committee as well. And we met yesterday. They had some, I think, minor changes, but I will turn that over to you.
Okay. Kelly has provided each of you with the updates that we went over yesterday. And like Rick said, they were pretty minor. A few word changes, very simple, a couple of typos, whatever. So basically what you have in front of you is what we reviewed and have agreed on as a committee. So basically our recommendation would be for approval of these newly written bylaws. The things that were taken out that include the procedures will be put into a separate document for internal procedures, and so they'll be a working document that can be adjusted as needed as time goes on without having to go through the same process that the bylaws go through. So basically everything in here is as we discussed.
Pardon me.
Of course, after if it's approved here by the board, then it would have to go to the Board of Supervisors for approval, and that takes typically about 2 months. And at that point, they would be in place and finalized. Anything else that you think I need to?
Donna, Sam, anything you guys want to add?
So we actually did have, you know, a fair number of things that we wanted to discuss yesterday, and it was interesting that some of the things that we discussed have to be this way because of CERL. We discussed why the chairmanship changes in January rather than in July. Just different issues. It was a very interesting process. It's very thorough, and I think the one outstanding issue is the education portion, which is going to require a separate committee to review the education process and what counts and how we get somebody to get credits for different opportunities, how we straddle that fence between credit for a sales pitch and so on. It was a good read.
But you're good with this today.
I am.
Okay. Sam, are you?
Concur with both comments.
Okay. Any other questions from the members? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the staff recommendation to approve the Internal Governance Committee's recommended bylaw revision.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Nobody passes unanimously. And is there no closed session today?
No closed session today.
Okay, member forum, Supervisor DiMartini.
No, I'm good today.
You're good?
No.
Is there a recording time for potential bridge or do it now?
We can do it now.
Probably Chris and Michael have something to say, but we looked at, all three of us attended the pension bridge in San Francisco. Pretty much two full days of negative. There wasn't very much positive that anybody anticipated out there, including private equity. And the one guy that was really, really positive was negative on anything to do with China or Russia and their accounting procedures. But he was very, very bullish on Greece for some reason.
Yeah, and
Greece. Thinks it's going to be a real boom for Europe.
Huh. So they think equities is not the place to be right now.
High valuations, I think, was the consensus. Yeah.
There's too much money in the world right now. It's just in every nook and cranny trying to find gain.
I see.
There's not enough of it.
What did you think of the quality of the conference overall?
I was going to ask that as well, because that is something new that gave a new opportunity for education hours. So I was curious to know if you liked it and recommended
it
that maybe some of the other
than
ones.
The ones we went to in Arizona a couple times.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, next month will be a good forum to discuss capital market expectations, because that's what we're going to be discussing, actually. So this will be a good time to talk about forward-thinking views.
I mean, he's right about it being negative, though, because we went to one, I think it was last year, a few months ago, where the negative view was there's going to be nuclear war, and et cetera, right? This, the negative view here was all about money. It's just, everything is crashing.
There's just too much free capital out there that's looking for a home. Can't find it.
Did they talk about interest rates at all? Like, where they think interest rates are going to be?
I don't think the general consensus is just going to slowly keep going up. Not fast enough to really make bonds look good or anything.
Right. That is the silver lining for us.
Yeah.
Keep our eye on the interest rates.
I can remember a couple of years at that Opal conference, it was all doom and gloom too.
Yeah.
And we had the biggest rally we ever had after that. So.
That's true.
I remember saying, you know, the new normal, you know, wasn't going to be able to make 7%, impossible to do it. It was a very negative conference, and there was nothing that was worth investing into, according to them. And then we had a 40% rally after that.
They spent an inordinate amount of time talking about social investment.
Yes, yeah, very much.
Maybe three or four different sessions.
What do you call social investment?
Get rid of the gun stores.
Don't invest in anything that has to do with guns or
payday
lending or whatever your particular loan.
See, that the stupid ideas like that is because that's why CalPERS never makes any money. You know, they're investing in windmills and solar panels, and they won't invest in tobacco or oil, and that's why they're always failures.
I had one really interesting fellow who is actually the manager of five different employee pension systems in New York City, and it's, I don't remember what the first three are.
Police, fire, teachers, other education.
Yeah, the last two were police and fire.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, these first three, they get all excited about investing in anything to do with guns or ammo. But police and fire demand it. So it's just your perspective on what we're doing.
I think at some point in time, we're going to have a discussion on ESG, social investing, just to see where this board is on that.
We did a couple years ago.
We did. It's starting to become, though, more in the forefront again. So.
I don't have anything, Mr. Chairman.
Michael and I attended the CRCEA conference, and one of the things I thought was interesting, there was a guy there from, and I don't know the name of the organization offhand, but he talked about Social Security and Medicare and, you know, trying to maintain those systems and whatnot. Anyway, I'm writing an article for our RESCO newsletter, so if you want to read about it, it's all up in there. Basically, you know, they've introduced a bill to raise the cap on taxable income for FICA and a few other things. So It was pretty interesting, I thought, just how they can try to overcome the fear that Social Security is going to run out of money, and same with Medicare. So I thought that was probably the most interesting topic that they have.
There was also a guy there who talked about driverless cars and driverless transportation. Very, very interesting. His company is just working on one piece of the sensors that sense, you know, somebody in front of you. And I mentioned something about, I was in Scottsdale when that woman got hit, Tempe, and killed by the driverless car. It was a driver and everything, wasn't the wheel. And he got really upset with me because I said, you know, she crossed in the middle of the street in the middle of the night with a bicycle where it was dark, wearing dark clothing. And he said, that has nothing to do with it. That sensor should have caught it. And he was very adamant about that the sensor should have caught it. And he's suggesting that within 20 to 22, sensors will be able to pick any of that kind of stuff up and react to it quicker than anything. Very, very interesting guy.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Just in time for old age.
Nothing.
I'm good.
Donna?
I'm fine.
So I had something I wanted to throw out. In discussing procedures with Ed today on the phone, I want to get your opinion on the work plan and flash report are two things that he frequently presents to us. What do you all think about putting them in consent items going forward? Would anyone have any problems with that? Obviously, it could always be pulled out to discuss at any time, but really only in the spirit of streamlining things.
I'm okay with the work plan being consent. I kind of like
the flash report.
It's at least something that we're talking about it enough.
It enforces the discussion.
Yeah. But perhaps the work plan and consent and the flash report stays out?
Yeah, I would agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the work plan can be on consent, not the other.
Okay. We don't need a motion for anything.
Yeah,
it stops that. Okay. We'll continue that way, I think, starting next month, and any changes that's not working, just let us know. Okay. Thanks.
Nothing.
I do have something. I should have did this in announcements, and I forgot. I wanted to let you all know that I appointed Natalie as the full-time position to the fiscal services manager.
Congratulations,
Natalie.
I have nothing to add. Meeting's adjourned.